Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Tuesday, June the 11th, and the Kent candidates for the general election have been confirmed. Now, nominations had to be in by last Friday. They've now been checked and verified and published for each constituency. This time around, there are 18 seats up for grabs in the county following changes to boundaries. Well, Dan Essen is our local democracy reporter, and he's been speaking to Lucy.
So there are 122 candidates total across all of Kent in 18 seats. All five of the major parties, Conservatives, Labour, Liberal Democrats, Green and the Reform Party, all have managed to put up candidates in every single one. A couple of them have changed a little bit. A couple of Reform Party candidates changed. And in some places, it would appear there might have been a bit of a rush to get candidates in before the deadline for nominations last Friday. But every major party has got people in for every seat, which is up for grabs in Kent. But you know, even if every major party was contesting all 18 of the seats, that only brings you to something like 90 prospective candidates. But there's quite a few more than that. There's a litany of independents, a few people from very small parties, such as George Galloway's Workers' Party of Britain. There's a group called the Christian People's Alliance, which are fielding a couple of candidates in Medway. And obviously there's, you know, independents who are running with no banner in some places. So there's an awful lot of choice available.
And there are some changes to some constituencies in Kent this year. Why is that?
Boundary Commission redraws parliamentary seat boundaries every few years, with the aim of doing that being to maintain a broadly equal number of voters in every constituency, usually about 60,000 to 80,000. And Kent has changed a reasonable amount. Like I said earlier, that there are now 18 seats, whereas previously there were 17. And those changes have come in a load of different forms. So some that changed, you know, very little, like Dover constituency. The only real change there was that one village was moved into another constituency to the north. Ashford changed quite a significant amount, losing a load of villages and extending all the way out towards Folkestone. Thanet has changed an awful lot. It used to be split into North Thanet and South Thanet, but now it's being broken up into East Thanet and a whole new constituency of Herne Bay and Sandwich. But by far the biggest change is the creation of the entirely new constituency, the Weald of Kent, which is if you look at it on a map, it's this absolutely sprawling constituency which covers a huge number of villages. I mean, it's very rural if you want an idea of it. The biggest settlements in that entire new constituency are going to be Tenterden and Cranbrook, so it covers hundreds of villages and hamlets all across Kent and all the way up to the border with Sussex.
And we'll definitely be getting some new MPs this year.
So obviously there'll definitely be a new MP for the new seat of Weald of Kent one way or another, as nobody's have been elected to that seat before. But there's also a few areas where the incumbent MP is standing down, so no matter what happens, there will be a new member. In Dover, Natalie Elphick, formerly a Tory, recently defected to Labour, she's standing down. Tracy Crouch, MP for Chatham and Aylesford, she's stepping down as well. Gordon Henderson stepping down from his seat in Sittingbourne and Sheppey. Greg Clark isn't standing for Tunbridge Wells either. And in Thanet, Craig McKinley, he originally intended to stand again, but he said because of health problems, he simply wouldn't be able to campaign. So he's not standing either. So basically, no matter what happens in the general election, there'll be at least six new members of parliament in for Kent. And other than the ones mentioned, all of the incumbent MPs, almost all of which, except one in Canterbury, a Conservative, are trying again for their seats.
And you can find details on all of the candidates standing in the constituency where you live at kentonline.co.uk. Just click on the general election tab and head to the interactive map. We've detailed the main issues in each area and asked the candidates why they think you should vote for them. A reminder, polling day is on July the 4th.
Kent Online News.
This is one of our most read stories on the website today. The head teacher of a Kent grammar school has branded Ofsted inspections tick box exercises after his school was stripped of its outstanding status. Folkestone School for Girls has held the top rating for the last 12 years, but has now been downgraded to good by the Education Watchdog. Well, Kate has been following this story for the Kent Online podcast. Kate, what did Ofsted find after their two-day visit in April?
Well, the report heaped praise on the school, which is considered to be one of the best in the county. Inspectors noted the impressive curriculum, writing that pupils feel 10 feet tall and develop into articulate and confident young women. Exceptional student behaviour, glowing sixth form results and the range of extracurricular options are also highlighted. But issues in the maths department, where it found pupils are not learning as well as they could, and a lack of experience among trustees, saw the school lose its outstanding rating.
Head Mark Lester says the school is better now than it was when it was first rated as outstanding in 2012, and the recent judgment has left him saddened and staff disheartened. What are his thoughts on Ofsted's criticism then?
Well, he's written to parents. He's acknowledged there are staffing issues in the maths department, which follows the disruption of the pandemic. He's also agreed there are a number of trustees who are new to the post and they haven't had the experience or training of their predecessors. But he did say inspectors were well aware of those challenges before the visit and agreed that plans put in place to address both were robust, workable and will secure rapid improvement. Despite all that, they couldn't achieve the overall outstanding rating because they couldn't tick every box at every point in the process.
Thanks ever so much, Kate. Mark Lester says overall they've received positive support from parents who agree the school did not receive the rating they deserve. Police investigating a suspicious fire in Margate have released a picture of a man they want to speak to. The blaze is thought to have been started outside a property in Westbrook Avenue between 10 and 11 on Sunday night. It was put out quickly and there were no reported injuries, but we have shared those pictures for you on our socials. There are calls for improvements to one of the most dangerous junctions in Kent amid fears more people could be killed if nothing's done. More than 1,200 people have signed a petition urging roads bosses to do something about the Shorne Crossroads near Gravesend. It follows the death of a man in a crash in February, and residents want a lower speed limit and traffic lights. CCTV footage at Kent Online, meantime, shows the moment a man was almost hit by a speeding car as it overtook another vehicle in Lydd. The Audi ends up on the wrong side of the road and narrowly avoids a pedestrian who'd been shopping on the high street. It has been reported to police, who are investigating. The boss of a tourist attraction near Sittingbourne says he's losing tens of thousands of pounds because of waterworks. Bill Best says people have been put off coming to the Bredgar and Wormshill Light Railway because of nearby road close signs. The railway is off Swanton Street, which has been closed for more than 100 days in the last 4 years. Bill has been speaking to our reporter, Joe Crossley.
This business has been going since 1975. And we're primarily involved with recovering and saving and displaying and educating people about our engineering heritage. The primary issue is the amount of closures that we've had on the road between Bredgar and, well, between Sittingbourne and Hollingbourne, and the fact that we understand that there's, you know, burst pipes happen and roads get closed for all sorts of reasons. But the volume and frequency of those closures is really awful. It's now over 10% of the time. And the fact that the signage is often put out miles, 7-8 miles away from where it is actually closed. That's if it is closed, because very often the signage is there for several days before or several days after the road closure is actually happening. And it has a terrible effect on us and other local businesses.
And with this signage, it's like you mentioned, it's sort of days there before and days after. It's also not telling them that you guys are still open.
No, we have a situation where you'll have it'll say road closed ahead, but it doesn't tell you where. So the recent example, it said road closed ahead. It was just under 7 miles from where it was actually closed. Now, I understand that you really want to try and help HGVs not get caught up, but in doing so, you're deterring people visiting the local pubs, us, our cafe, other cafes and farms, businesses in the area, and it causes mayhem.
And just talk to me a little bit about the financial side of it.
We're definitely not for profit. We don't even come close. So in effect, any money we get is, we're on a knife edge the whole time to try and get money. So we get quite a lot of donations and so on. But if the road signage says it's closed and the access is denied, even though it's technically not closed or not denied to where we are, our revenue drops off a cliff, as does other businesses. We're not alone by a long way. And the result of that is when you're only just making do, just getting by, that's a critical amount of money to lose. And it runs into tens of thousands. It's not just a small amount. And in effect, we have to put things on hold. So we've got locomotives, for example, that are being restored. We've got one in particular. I know it's going to cost a reasonable amount of money. We've had to stop that. And even with that, we're struggling to keep things going. So it's a difficult task. And the road closures are a very major part of that problem.
Now, South East Water's regional network manager Andy Beston has sent us this statement. It says, "We're sorry to customers and residents affected by the vital roadworks to repair burst water mains in Hollingbourne and Bredgar. We understand that traffic management can be frustrating, and we ensure we work as quickly and safely as possible to fix leaks while causing minimal disruption. We monitor all pipelines along our 9,000-mile network to assess, calculate and prioritise when they need replacing. Swanton Street is in our programme for replacement, but we are not yet able to say when this will happen."
Kent Online reports.
A Whitstable man who served time in prison for shoplifting and antisocial behaviour is back behind bars. Shortly after Gerard McGuinness was released, officers found him drinking and in possession of a knife in the high street, breaching his criminal protection notice. The 30-year-old, who has no fixed address, has been sentenced to another 328 days. A woman's been taken to hospital after being found in the sea at Herne Bay. Emergency crews, including the Coast Guard and RNLI, were called out just after 10 on Sunday night. We're told she was discovered in the water near Neptune's Arm and taken for checks as a precaution. Plans to build a house within the grounds of the late Paul O'Grady's estate near Ashford have been rejected. The proposal was to transform a disused security office at the site in Aldington into a two-bed property three times the size. The council have turned it down, though, saying it would be an intrusive feature. Elsewhere, plans for dozens of new homes in part of Medway have been approved, but only on the condition there are no cats or children. The 25 properties are set to be built on the edge of Cliff Woods, which is not far from the site of a special scientific interest where nightingales nest. Councillors gave the development the go-ahead, but some have questioned how the policies would be enforced. A gardening group on the Kent coast is stepping up their campaign to tackle food and fuel poverty by creating a community kitchen. Herne Bay in Bloom are already tending the garden in the Memorial Park that provides free produce. It's also become a space that helps vulnerable people overcome social isolation and gives them a sense of purpose. Well, Kate's been chatting to Stafford Taylor and Lucy Platel, who are co-founders of the Roots to Resistance programme.
The Roots to Resistance is going to be integrative with our next design, because our community garden is called the Herne Bay Memorial Park Community Kitchen Garden. And I know it's a bit of a mouthful, but the important part is the kitchen, which hasn't yet been completed. And it's always been a plan. Lucy's plan from the start was to integrate a kitchen into the garden there that uses the produce that we make. So the garlics, the kale and everything else, that we can be making our own stews and stuff. And we've had like a makeshift like gas stove. But the idea is we're going to have a proper kitchen in there, and we're going to we've just been talking to a guy today, so we're going to be digging out the foundation soon. We're going to be getting ground workers in. We do need volunteers, we do need donations, because the idea is this is going to be basically like a community cafe, but in theory everything's going to be free. So you want to pop in for a cup of tea, you want to pop in for when we have like a lunch session, you know, you'll be welcome to have it for free. And we obviously we will take donations. And we may have specify like a recommended donation, but everything will be free. So, you know, if you are low income, it's fighting, you know, poverty. You can come there, have a free hot meal. It's also going to be fighting mental health and isolation, because it's a place where you can come and you don't have to pay anything. You can just come sit down, have a cup of tea with us, have a nice hot stew with us. And yeah, it really is. It's really going to be good on all them levels, fighting food poverty, fighting fuel poverty, and fighting the crisis of isolation and what I believe is like a hyper individualized society, and rebuilding community around this kitchen. It's not a cafe.
It's a kitchen and a canteen, and the centerpiece will be a beautiful oven that will be built on really cool appropriate technology. Won't go into that boring stuff at the moment, but it's not boring at all. It's you know, it'll be built on, the oven itself will be built on what they call rocket oven. So it's a really efficient way to get an oven to heat. So we can use things like small twigs and kindling rather than large expensive pieces of timber or coal. So there's some really cool sustainable skills to pick up there, you know, so developing our livelihoods essentially, you know, in areas where you know, jobs and what have you will be needed. So that's really exciting. There's some cool design challenges for people that are techie and like to get their head into something engineering, which we have.
Obviously one of the big things you want to do is we want to integrate all kinds of systems that are ecologically friendly. So obviously Lucy mentioned the oven, which we'll use like wood and little bits of tinder and stuff, but also we'll be grabbing like any ideas, if anyone's got any ideas about like a grey water system, so basically recycled water, so we'll do the washing up and we'll reuse that water for the plants and the garden, because why not? And also obviously like solar panels and stuff like that. So anyone with any knowledge of these things is really more than welcome to come down the garden and come and give us ideas, inspiration and a helping hand, because we really do need it.
Kent Online reports.
Figures out today show another drop in unemployment in Kent. 39,415 people were claiming out-of-work benefits in the county in April. That's down by 860 compared to the previous month. People living close to a shopping centre near Maidstone say their roads have become overcrowded since charges were introduced at the car park. Workers at the Mid-Kent Centre in Allington have had to pay for a permit to park there since December. It's feared bin lorries and even emergency vehicles are being prevented from getting down nearby residential streets. Now, a Gravesend shop owner's told Kent Online how rising rents and the end of the Tilbury ferry are among the reasons she's closed. Forget-me-not Vintage and Doll's House on the High Street shut for the final time over the weekend. Sarah Cheshire says footfall's been dropping over the past 12 months or so.
To be honest with you, I've been mulling it over for, well, probably, in all honesty, probably the last year, because I actually took on a second job like a year ago, because I was noticing that the footfall was getting quite low and it wasn't worth me, like I'm not very good at being bored, so I was finding my days here were quite boring and I thought I need to do something else. So that's when I changed the hours of the shop to like 3 days a week. That was the start of it really, and that was like a year ago. And I think, I suppose since then, I've just noticed a steady decline really of I suppose customers coming in, footfall, and also just people's shopping habits have changed a lot. And I think then with the cost of living going up, it's just had to weigh it up really in the end, and it just wasn't viable anymore.
And as I say, it's probably interesting for me, over for a year, so why was it kind of now that you've decided, you know,
yeah, to give it up? I think probably I always thought to myself, as long as it can sort of keep itself running, then that's fine, I'll keep it going. Because I've never really been in it to make money. I've done it because I've enjoyed it, and you know, I like meeting people and all of that really. It's been a paying hobby really, I suppose. And I thought, as soon as it's not sort of meeting its own needs, then I have to give it up. And that's basically what's happened. The rents have gone up, the ferry stopped. I mean, that was probably the last nail in the coffin for me. And something had to go because, it's just not viable, and I can't subsidise it. As much as I love it, I can't. I have bills to pay. I'm a single mum as well. I've got a daughter. So, something had to go, and that's why. But it's It is sad.
Well, Sarah's decided to rent studio space in Northfleet and will run the business online instead. A bridge over the M20 is going to be shut overnight for more than 2 weeks. Engineers will need to be inspecting and repairing New Hythe Lane Bridge in Larkfield starting this Wednesday. Full details of those dates and times of the closure are on the website today. A free summer holiday bus is going to start in Folkestone next month. It'll run every half an hour between Folkestone West Railway Station and the Harbour Arm from July the 20th until the 1st of September. It's hoped it'll boost businesses by helping people get to the seafront. And some showbiz news. Kent's Mia McKenna-Bruce is going to star alongside Helena Bonham Carter and Martin Freeman in a new Agatha Christie adaptation. Filming for the Seven Dials mystery will begin this summer. The 26-year-old BAFTA winner who grew up in Maidstone will play a young sleuth who tries to solve a murder.
Kent Online Sports.
One bit of sports news for you. Tennis and Kent's Emma Raducanu will play her first match since April today. The 21-year-old from Orpington missed the French Open to focus on preparations for the grass court season. She's taking on Enna Shibahara in the first round of the Nottingham Open. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. It's nearly time for fun at Cossington Park Sports Centre. The family-friendly, inclusive pool and sports centre for Medway, opening on Wednesday the 17th of July. With a brand new fun pool, wave machine and flume, four-lane swimming pool and splash pool for little ones. Multi-purpose dance and fitness studio with children's party area and a state-of-the-art gym. The countdown is on. Sign up to a membership and find out more at medway.gov.uk/Cossington Park.